Well, welcome to the class of Alliance of Honorable Men. I'm glad to be back with you. First of all, Happy New Year to you. Glad to be back in the classroom with you to continue to learn and to impart into each other. We had a powerful LTMA impartation conference, and I hope that you not only received information, but you also received impartation. Last time we were together, we began to talk about or finish up talking about the three purposes of the church. The first one was be connected to heaven to reveal the Father. Second purpose is to shut down the gates of hell. And the third is to extend the kingdom without limitation. So in those three, we found out that the purpose of the church is not what we thought the purpose of the church was. Many of us come to church to get our problems solved, to get our issues dealt with. All those things can happen, but that's not the purpose of the church. As a matter of fact, you will see this is the one, and we'll get into it later on in our future classes, but this is one of the reasons why the church is in such disarray in today's society, because no one is really focused on the three main purposes of the church, which is number one, to be connected to the Father. Why should we be connected to the Father? Yeah, to reveal him to the earth. You can't reveal something or somebody you're not connected to. Other words, you can't let somebody else know who God is if you don't know who God is. And because the apostolic has been absent, I keep using this phrase, we had to make it up as we go. So that's why you have all this nonsense in the church. I heard a bishop say one time that the church has to be different than the culture. Deliverance cannot take place in the same atmosphere. In order for deliverance, think about each one of us. In order for us to be delivered from one set of circumstances, our environment had to change first. Why is that important? It is important because when you leave that environment, then your thinking can change. Your thinking can change. Your behavior can change. And so the church has to be different than the world. That's why the church, the purpose of the church has to become forefront. Number one, we got to be connected to heaven. Why we need to be connected to heaven? Because heaven is where God resides and from which all things flow. It said every good and perfect gift come from the Father. A man can receive nothing unless it's given to him from the Father, which is in heaven. That's John 3:27. So we have to be connected to the Father, I mean connected to heaven to reveal the Father. Then we have to shut down the gates of hell. And we talked about this. The way the gates of hell are shut down around us is we have to shut down the gates of hell in our lives. So I must shut down the gates of hell from prevailing in my life before I ever try to shut the gates of hell in my community or my environment. And then we have to extend the kingdom without limitations. Once the gates of hell are shut down, we have to establish God's ways of doing things. That's right, establish God. That's what the kingdom is, God's ways of doing things. We have to establish those things. And so understanding the purpose of the church, we can now understand why the church is in such disarray, such confusion. Because without understanding the purpose of the church, then if you don't understand the purpose of a thing, you will abuse it. Abuse is two words, abnormal use. Put it together what you have, abuse. Abnormal use. Other words, you use the thing for which it was not designed to use for, be used for. You have abnormal use. Now you have abuse. So the church has abused its purpose because it had to make it up as it go. The church was designed, the church, the ecclesia, we are the church. We were designed to be connected to heaven, to reveal the Father, shut down the gates of hell, and extend the kingdom without limitations. That's how the gospel, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. preach the good news. That's part of the church's assignment. But we cannot do it if the church itself is in disarray. So now we understand the purpose of the church. It should change the reason why we come to church. I shouldn't come to church just to get my needs met or to get my problems solved. I need to be coming to church to find out how can I be connected to heaven so I can reveal the Father. Let's make it personal. I need to know how I can shut down the gates of hell around me. I need to know what's my part in extending the kingdom without limitation. In that process, go to John with me, John the 15th chapter. In that process of you saying, I want to learn how I can be connected to heaven so I can reveal the Father. I want to be able to shut down the gates of hell around me. I want to be able to extend the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven without limitation. John the 15th chapter, I want to show you something. In that process, when you make it personal and say, God, these are things I want to do, something significant happens. I want you to see this. Something significant happens. In John the 15th chapter, in the very first verse, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring more fruit. All right, you see that? Verse 3 is what I want to get to. Verse 3 says, now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. When you change your focus from being self-centric to being God-centric, I'm not coming to church to get my needs met. I'm not coming to church to get my problems solved. I'm not coming to church to make my life better. I'm coming to church because I want to be connected to heaven so I can reveal the Father. I want to be able to shut the gates of hell around me, and I want to be able to extend the kingdom of God without limitations. When I do that, then it allows Jesus to pour into me. It allows Jesus to speak to me so that I can do what he's asking me to do. And in that process, I become clean. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said in verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So the pastoral model have caused us to focus on ourselves instead of focus on what God wants and focus on him. Remember now, I can't reveal who I don't know. I can't shut down the gates of hell without the power to shut down the gates of hell. And I can't establish the kingdom without limitations if I don't know what the kingdom is. Are we getting this? So this is why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 11th verse, gave the fivefold ministry gift so we can learn how to be connected to the Father, connected to heavens to reveal the Father, so we'll know how to shut down the gates of hell and establish the kingdom without limitations. That's the three main purposes of the church. It can't get, people get all complicated, they can get all deep, but when it boils back down, you're here to be connected. What? You come from heaven. Satan knew you came from heaven. This is why he attacked Adam and Eve's thought process. So he can get them disconnected from heaven because he wants to be in control. He wants the gates of hell to run rampant. He wants to shut down the kingdom of God from being established. So when you got born again, you got reintroduced to your original creator. So your original purpose, why you here came here, we're going to get to it. Why we came here is to be connected to the Father, because you're connected to heaven to reveal the Father, to shut down the gates of hell. I hope you catch it. I'm saying this over and over for a reason, because I need you to change in your mind what the purpose of the church is. Because if you don't change the purpose of the church in your mind, then you won't be able to get to the place that God expects you to be, because it's all about you. The third thing is to establish the kingdom without limitations. So we see, let's read the verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. much results. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They're useless. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So we see there is a harmonious condition that we must have with the Father, so that we can get things done here on earth. That mentality has to change. Church is not just about you being delivered. The pastoral model calls us to focus on that. Deliverance is automatic. God, thank you, Jesus. Deliverance is automatic once you understand and buy into the purpose of the church. Deliverance is automatic. It's impossible for you to stay in bondage and you become a part of the purpose of the church. Impossible. You can't find nowhere in the Bible where someone who became involved with the will of God stayed in bondage. You can't find no one in the Bible. And so this is why the fivefold has been, Jesus gave the fivefold so that we can understand the purpose of the church. So that when you understand the purpose of the church, you can now participate better. When you participate better, your life becomes easy. Matthew 11, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. So, and having said that, you know, now we have to understand why it's important that once the purpose of the church is understand why it's important that we must have strategy. Well, first of all, communication, strategy, and then purpose. We must have all three in order to establish the kingdom without limitations. So you see in chapter 5, but go over and turn me to Genesis, the 6th chapter. We're going to use that as our basis for the Genesis, the 6th chapter, or Genesis, the 11th chapter. I'm sorry, Genesis, the 11th chapter. Genesis, the 11th chapter. You'll see where there must be communication, strategy, and purpose. Without those three, then the purpose of the church cannot be established. This is why we have divine order. This is why we have to have structure in the church. This is why we have to have government. Let's see this. Genesis, the 11th chapter. Let me turn there. Praise God. This is the 11th chapter. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Now, why is this important? You know, the power of communication. Why is that important? Without us able to relay and convey messages to each other in the proper way, then there can be no cohesion. There can be no agreement. It can be no synergy. Synonymous energy. We see this example in Genesis, the 11th chapter. I love how the author broke this down and gave us an explanation of this so you can understand. Now, I don't want you to focus on the language. I'm explaining to you, but I don't want you to focus on the language. There's a certain phrase I want you to focus on. Watch what it says in the 11th chapter, the first verse. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. I want to read this out of the book, the Little Translation, because there's some people that have done studies and able to translate the Bible in a little clearer manner so we can understand what they're really meaning. The whole earth used different languages as one language, and they used different words as the same word. So other words, people were speaking different languages, but they understood each other. One might have spoke French, another might have spoke another language, might have spoke German, but they were speaking to each other. It's amazing. And they were able to understand each other. See, you got to understand. Let's think about this. Do you think when you get to heaven that there are going to be countries in heaven like we have down here? Have you ever thought about that? There's not going to be countries in heaven. Think about it. We got one God. We all worship in one God. We're one people. They're going to be, it's going to be, watch this, here's the phrase, a spirit of understanding. Turn with me to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians, the first chapter. Praise God. Ephesians, the first chapter. Spirit of understanding. Ephesians, the first chapter. And the 17th verse. The Apostle Paul was praying, and he said, this is why he was praying, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You must develop a spirit of understanding. How do you develop a spirit of understanding? You develop a spirit of understanding by spending time with God and his word. When you spend time with God and his word, you will develop a spirit of understanding. And when you develop that spirit of understanding, God then can connect you or join you to someone or somebody or group of people that has the same spirit of understanding that you have. When that happens, there is a language that is developed. I'm not talking about English. I'm not talking about French. I'm not talking about Japanese. There is a language in the supernatural that is developed that it causes a group of people to be on the same page. Go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis. Watch this. Genesis 11th chapter. Verse 2, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they made brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. All this had to come from a spirit of understanding. I remember they spoke different languages, but when they spoke different languages, they were able to understand each other because of the spirit of understanding. Without the spirit of understanding, it will be hard for you to get involved with the purpose of the church. Because to have the spirit of understanding, you must be God-centric. What I mean by God-centric, God got to be your sole focus. Everything revolves around him. Everything revolves around him and what he wants to do. See, there's a reason why Jesus is the head and we are the body. Very great analogy. The head controls the brain. The head contains the brain or the smarts of the operation. Your whole body operates off of what your brain tells it to do. Jesus is the brain. My fingers don't have to worry about what my toes doing. When we're walking, my fingers don't ever have to go and check the toes. Why? Because the toes are connected to the head. The fingers are connected to the head. So when the head gives the fingers instructions, I'll give you an example, your gait, your walk, your arms swing when you walk. Why is that happening? Because your brain is telling it to do so, so you can maintain balance. Do you ever realize and wonder why when you make a step with your left foot that your right hand moves? When you make a step with your right foot, your left hand or your left arm moves. That's because your brain is telling it what to do so that you can maintain balance. The left hand don't ever have to go check the right foot. The right foot don't have to check the right hand because they're both getting instructions. There's a spirit of understanding. That's the that's what I'm trying to get you to see. When you spend time with God, you will be able to easily recognize the Spirit of God and where he is moving. That is important because when communication has to be, in order for you to do something, it has to be properly communicated. When you have the spirit of understanding, That is the easiest form of communication. Hope you catch on to this. Watch what it says. He says, verse 4, and go, they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad the whole face of the earth. So now you got communication. They're able to communicate with each other. Now they have a strategy. They have a strategy. What the strategy is? They say, watch this. Go to verse 3, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. Then they found the land. So they had a strategy. They found land. They said, let us make bricks. Let us make slime for mortar. Let's go build us a tower in heaven. Even though it might not have been what God wanted, but we as a church can take the ideas that they had and work it in the church and see how the church or the kingdom can be established without limitations. Verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the children, to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. They had already started. They already started building it. Because they had one singular purpose, they were able to communicate properly, have a spirit of understanding, and come up with a strategy. Look at this. The power of purpose always breeds the grounds. It's a breeding ground for proper communication and proper strategy. If you have proper purpose, it's the breeding ground for proper communication and proper strategy. Verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one. I always love how the Bible writes this. The people is one. It sounds like it's bad English, but that's just to show you how united they were. The people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So can you imagine we're applying these same principles to God's ideas? We have the same purpose. We're saying the same thing. What I mean by saying the same thing, we're communicating in the spirit of understanding the purpose. So therefore, none of us are saying anything different that would try to jeopardize from the purpose being accomplished. When we say the same thing, God can infiltrate and give us, that's why I say infiltrate, God can infiltrate and download to us the proper information we need or the proper strategy so that we can accomplish what he wants on earth. I love what God said. He said, go to, let us go down and therefore confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build a city. They left off to go. Now each one of them got to build their own city. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. We have just described the church. I just saw that. We have just described the church. Because there's no spirit of understanding. When there's no spirit of understanding, communication can't take place. And communication can't take place. Purpose is not known. When a purpose is not known, strategy is not needed. When strategy is not needed, now we have been divided to go develop our own cities. But the apostolic is now bringing back the spirit of understanding back to the church so there can be a unified cohesiveness so that you could be connected to the heavens, connected to heaven to reveal the Father, so that the gates of hell can be shut down. So that the kingdom can be established without limitations. I want you to digest that. I want you to take that in. Read the Genesis 11th chapter. Go over this 5th chapter and read it, because I want you to understand. Because the next class, we're getting ready to go into the power of covenant. And once we get into the power of covenant, you're going to have to totally lose yourself in the kingdom. It's no longer going to be about you. It's going to be about you. No longer be able to be concerned about your problems. See, thank you, Holy Spirit. What you focus on expands. Every time, what you focus on expands. The Bible says in Matthew 6, I think it's verse 24, which one of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? Which one of you by taking thoughts of yourself, you can change your situation without the help of the Father? So in other words, Jesus was saying that sixth chapter, why focus on your issues? Why focus on your problems? Why focus on your roadblocks? Focus on me, Matthew 11. Come learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me focus on your roadblocks. Let me focus on your imperfections. Let me focus on your insecurities. I want Jesus working on my insecurities rather than me. I want Jesus working on my imperfections rather than me. I want Jesus working on my weaknesses rather than me. And I'd rather work on his behalf. I'd rather work on what he wants me to do, because I know I can do that. I'm not guaranteed I can take care of my weaknesses. That's not guaranteed, not within myself. But when I focus on him, I can take care of what he needs. I want you to digest that, because we get into the sixth chapter and we're going to hit the ground running, and you're going to love the power of covenant. So I bless you, and I'll see you next time.